We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
What is up, Nets fans? Welcome to Brooklyn Buzz. I'm Nick Fay. With me, as always, Jack Manuel. Jack, how are we doing?
Bit of non-KD talk today, Nick. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's like the schedule kind of just came up and it was a surprise. Obviously, the date was already kind of known, but it's like you don't even think about it or really care about it because we don't know what the state of the team's going to be. We're going to jump into that and plenty more. Make sure you check the Buzz on all streaming platforms. But, Jack, where do you want to start?
Let's start with the schedule, Nick, and hopefully people stick around for this episode for the KD talk a little bit later. But awesome, massive shout out to our guy Shane, who's appeared on the pod and dropped some awesome nuggets for us. I hopefully have him on soon. He sort of picked out the key notable games, and I think I'll go through them because he's done a really good job of it. Opening nights against the Pelicans, Zion and the Pelicans. A couple of days later on the 21st versus the Raptors in Toronto. At the Bucks on the 26th, one of the 13 ESPN nationally televised games that the Nets do have. That's November 9. You guys write your dates the wrong way around. It's really annoying. You guys being Americans. Against the Knicks on ESPN. Then at the Los Angeles Lakers on the 13th of November. The 22nd of November at the Sixers. That'll be on TNT. The 21st of December versus the Warriors, which will be on NBA TV, which technically is national TV. Against the Celtics, the dreaded Celtics, on the 1st of January. Again, it's just the wrong way around. And the 19th of January against the Suns. Both of those games are on TNT. Then against the Knicks on the 28th of January on ABC, and then the 6th of February against the Los Angeles Clippers. So a nice chronological order there. You might have listened to it a couple of times, might have gone through it a bit quickly, or follow Shane on Twitter at TheRealSJC, who dropped all that there. And there's obviously plenty of other people, including Nets Republic, who have posted the entire schedule. So those are notable games, Nick. Any ones that stick out for you, I guess, one of the people that was like, oh man, why do the Nets have any more nationally televised games? Or were you on the sort of side of things? Cool. More Yes Network.
Yeah, I think last year the Nets lost a lot of nationally televised games. So happy to have them on Yes Network. Never really that concerned with nationally televised games, given I live in New York and have access to Yes Network, which is obviously one of the top broadcasts you can find in the NBA. I mean, again, it's hard to react to the actual schedule because we don't know what type of team we're going to have moving forward here. You know, could it be a team that has Kyrie Irving, Jaylen Brown, and Ben Simmons? Is it a team that has Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, and Ben Simmons? Or is it a team that's, you know, Ben Simmons and a whole bunch of role players? Who really knows? I mean, the only interesting thing, I guess, is, you know, the home opener against the Pelicans. That's kind of cool. You know, you got the return of Zion and obviously the return of Ben. I'm already worried about, you know, how the Nets are going to defend Zion and his size, given even if the roster were to be the same, you know, opening night, there's still, you know, limited options. But what stuck out for you, Jack?
Look, I guess probably the nationally televised games did stick out, Nick, because if you have a team led by Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, you're going to be one of the leaders. And they're behind a heap of teams. You know, a lot of good people on Twitter have sort of put out the Nets had the same amount as the New York Knicks or sort of around the mark with the New Orleans Pelicans. You know, when you compare that to, you know, the Lakers, the Bucks, the Celtics, those sort of teams, they're dwindling. And I think that there is probably an expectation from broadcasters and from the people that do the schedule that the Nets aren't going to have Kevin Durant. So they obviously don't have any inside information because, you know, they're not Sean Marks and Brad Stevens or David Griffin or whoever else it might be. But the growing expectation is this probably indicates that Kevin Durant, if you have Kevin Durant on your team, you're going to have 20 nationally televised games plus. Without Kevin Durant, that puts you in that sort of mid-tier. And again, I agree. I love the YES Network. It's my favorite broadcast. I love Iron Eagle, Richard Jefferson, Sarah Kustok, and everyone else in between that. I'm a massive fan of it, so I'm looking forward to watching that. I've got NBA League Pass as well, so down here it's a little bit easier for me to watch on that anyway, rather than sort of the nationally televised games, which can be a little bit annoying. So, look, those things stick out for me a little bit, Nick, because it shows that the cachet of the Nets is, you know, dropping a little bit in terms of their, not credibility, but their notoriety.
Yeah, I think it's important to note as well is the second half of the season, there is flexibility. You know, if the Nets were to keep Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and Ben Simmons and have that trio, you know, you could see this number probably jump, you know, to the 20s. Especially if one of the teams above them have an injury or something goes bad. Not including NBA TV games, the Nets have 13 nationally televised, and that would be 11th in the league. So it's like almost in that in-between category where they think Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving probably aren't going to be here, or at least Kevin Durant isn't. But if he is, we at least still have them represented a little bit and have the flexibility to kind of change that for the second half of the season, you know, depending on injuries or performance of different teams.
Yeah, and who knows? Because, look, at the starts, we could, you know, go on a run, or maybe the Jaylen Brown and Ben Simmons-led Nets, you know, gain a bit of, you know, notoriety and popularity throughout the NBA sphere and the national landscape. So, look, I don't know, but look, there's plenty of people that are posting the full schedule. I think once we know the team a little bit more, you know, and, you know, have the, you know, the Nets versus James Harden's going to be a sort of big one. That one sort of sticks out. You know, obviously any Knicks game and all the Atlantic Division games are going to be pretty big, and because of just there seems to be some semblance of rivalry going on. And it's hard to sort of piece things together, Nick, as you sort of alluded to, because we don't know what the team is going to be, so how can we analyze, you know, opening night? Is Kevin Durant going to be versus Zion Williamson, or is it going to be Ben Simmons and Jaylen Brown versus Zion Williamson? And, you know, that'll be more fun when we get to sort of dive into, you know, the first month or so, and we can do some predictions and some prognosticating and some forecasting. But as we currently stand, it's cool to see these notable games and great work again by Shane for pointing those ones out. But the Nets are going to be playing basketball games, I guess. Now we can maybe start to get towards that point when we speak about basketball. But we'll still be doing plenty more KD stuff in this episode and probably a couple more episodes if things continue to drag out.
Yeah, and just a quick note on the schedule too. Regardless who's on the team, the first five games are tough. You have the Pelicans, you have the Raptors, you have the Grizzlies, the Bucks, and then the Mavericks. Then you get a home back-to-back against the Pacers, you know, not actually a back-to-back Saturday to Monday, but still those first five games, regardless who's on the roster, like trying to find rhythm against some of these guys, especially if the cohesion and the chemistry isn't right, it's going to be tough to come out of there with a positive record. I think another also note, if you go to the Nets website and you look at the season schedule, usually they have, you know, the giveaways listed, a lot of the giveaways are to be determined, you know, with player t-shirts, and there's, you know, no one kind of locked into that spot. So even the Nets still kind of unsure what to expect, you know, the opening week or who's going to be on the roster come media day and training camp.
Yeah, that opening stanza is going to be interesting because, you know, when does this trade happen? Does it happen before training camp? And, you know, Steve Nash can actually do some coaching and figure out some stuff with Igor Kokoshkov and the staff behind the scenes, or, you know, is it going to be, you know, continuing? Is Kevin Durant continuing to be there? Is he going to sit? Is he not going to sit? Is he going to play? If he does play, we know Kevin Durant seems to be, you know, he's doing a lot of workouts, so he loves his basketball, even, you know, in Saint-Tropez and Barcelona, wherever else he might be. You know, it just reminds me, where in the world is Carmen San Diego? Where in the world is Kevin Wayne Durant? But in saying that, Nick, any final schedule thoughts? Before, you know, we'll probably dive deeper into that, obviously, once we do finally get this trade, but we'll dive deeper into the rumors around that trade in a couple of moments as well.
Yeah, I think three back-to-backs in the first 3 weeks of the season, which is a little bit tough, especially if there's some, you know, unsureness, I guess, about who's going to be on the roster, or, you know, if guys are sitting out or whatever it might be. So again, that first couple weeks of the schedule seem pretty tough with logistics and also different matchups. But like you said, we'll jump into that more when we actually have an idea who's going to be on the team.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk. But it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, and it's interesting because in relation to that, Nick, we got conflicting reports from different outlets. You know, Sam Amick and The Athletic were basically saying that the Nets have unofficially arrived at a deal between Durant and the Nets. And, you know, that the Jaylen Brown center deal is the front runner, and they're using that as sort of leverage with other teams. But then we got reports from the Boston Globe sort of saying that there's been no real talks of any substantive talks in recent memory. What I honestly think this is Sean Marks is now finding Sam Amick and The Athletic as a leak because he's a pretty credible national reporter. And Brad Stevens is going, we'll just leak to our Boston guys. And we'll just say, nah, we're not doing that, because what's the point in us doing that? Because for Boston, you know, our guy Matt Brooks, and you pointed this out on the last episode, it's the impetus is much more on Brooklyn to make this trade. I'm feeling more like that as the days go on, Nick, because Boston were just in the NBA Finals. The Kevin Durant-led Nets got knocked out in the first round by the Boston Celtics, led by Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Jaylen Brown was the best player in the finals for the Boston Celtics. Jason Tatum had his woes, and he is the better player. But Jaylen Brown was the best player, and the Nets are said to want the second best player as the crux of a deal. Seems to me that they've come down from Karl Anthony Towns, Anthony Edwards, and 4 million picks. So there's at least some wiggle room that's happening from the Nets. But it seems to me that there's going to be, you know, I'll have to be a little bit more, because this toing and froing from the media, and we know how the sort of source game works, and our listeners probably do now as well, given the amount of times that we mention it. Where does it currently stand, Nick? Is it still stalemate? Is it still, you know, just wait and see? Is it still just, you know, playing the waiting game? What is it?
Yeah, I think obviously, like you kind of mentioned, Jack, it's like leverage leaks here. You know, Sean Marks is still trying to use Boston as leverage. Boston doesn't want to seem like Jaylen Brown is floating out there, like he's an option for them to make a trade if the Nets agree to the terms that, you know, Boston's willing to offer. But like you said, Boston already made a big trade this year. They added Malcolm Brogdon to a team that lost in the finals in six games to the Warriors. So it's like they could run it back with the team and add Brogdon and have hope that they're even better this year, because they were also pretty poor to start the season. Then they really turned it up and kind of continued throughout the year. And they kind of potentially ran out of gas. So maybe a little bit more depth, obviously added Gallinari, who maybe won't be a playoff player, but somebody who can help burn up some regular season minutes. So if you're Boston, you're not really in a position where you need to make this trade. They're not, you know, coming off three straight losses in the Eastern Conference Finals and have guys up for free agency or anything like that. So it's really on the Nets. And like you said, you know, the Nets are just trying to get more offers and trying to create traction on this front. If not, they're going to have to try to run it back. And it seems like running it back could lead to a really, really toxic situation.
Despite the fact that we heard, I'm going to call it Sean Marks propaganda from Brian Windhorst saying, well, what does it look like? Maybe it could look okay. And it's just like, I can't take anything seriously coming from ESPN these days, Nick, because it's just, we just know that the the legitimacy and the integrity of the news that comes from them around Kevin Durant and the Brooklyn Nets is so direct in its line. It's basically just like Sean Marks giving a script in an email to Brian Windhorst or Adrian Wojnarowski. Say this. Ramona Shelburne, say this. It makes us look good. Or Joe Tsai, probably. It's probably a combination of the two, to be honest. But I just think that, you know, we've heard Brian Windhorst bring it up, and it's just like, okay, well, the Nets really trying to do this? Because we heard like weeks ago that they were pretty strong in that factor. And then they came back and go, oh, well, what about Jaylen Brown? Let's put that out there and see if we can. They're losing the media game, Nick. They're just losing leverage left, right, and center. And, you know, as you and I said, you know, the fans and pundits are being treated as chums. And we're just like, okay, we're just supposed to believe now that you want Kevin Durant to come back and you want everything to come into camp, despite the fact that Joe Tsai, the owner, said, I don't want this toxicity. I don't want to run it back, you know, again after what happened last year. We know what Joe Tsai wants. He doesn't want Kevin Durant on this team anymore. He wants Steve Nash and Sean Marks to lead this team. And he's suddenly going, okay, well, what about if we bring him back? And or Sean Marks or whoever it is that's leveraging that those sort of plays. It's just... I find it just really like hard to process, like all the stuff that's coming from these sources.
Yeah, and to quote Windhorst, he said the other negotiation that is now under developing is between Kevin Durant and the Nets. What do it look like for him to come back? And that's
what bullshit. That is not what's happening, Nick. That they are just saying that. Are you telling me that Kevin Durant is like, all right, I'm texting with Joe Tsai right now. Oh, I might come back. Look, he can come back and play, but the nature of it is going to be. He's not going to be, it's going to lead to a trade. Like, that's where this end game is, unless, like, Kevin Durant goes a full 180, which he could. I see that likelihood being incredibly, incredibly slim. But it's just like the indecisiveness, the stubbornness is now bordering, is now going towards indecisiveness. How are they handling this? What do they actually want? What do they want us fans to know and sort of, you know, to take into this sort of thing? And a lot of fans now, including myself, are like, can we just do this deal? Like, can we just get it done? Or can we just, like, can you actually go? Can you fire Steve Nash? Can you do something? Because I'm getting sick of recording podcasts with you where I'm frustrated about the fact that I'm talking about the same shit over and over and over. I've said this before, like, there's no sense in nonsense, and the Nets are a nonsensical franchise right now in their leadership.
Yeah, the Nets wanted, essentially, they wanted, you know, trade Kevin Durant if they can get a package they like. If not, they're just going to keep him and hope that they can run it back. It's pretty much, they want what they want. If they don't get it, then they're going to try to flip the switch on that and, you know, go in this direction. And I think, obviously, KD's requested a trade. They probably don't want anyone on the team that doesn't want to be there. And obviously, their push to make him happy hasn't really been much. You know, they haven't really done anything to try to win him back. We obviously heard the request of firing Sean Marks and Steve Nash, both still employed by the Nets. And, you know, that's that. And it doesn't seem like that's going to change anytime soon, even though, you know, Steve Nash definitely should be, you know, let go, especially, and I've seen this point brought up, you know, numerous times by other people on Twitter, is like, if Nash doesn't have the respect of Kevin Durant, you know, what does the rest of the locker room think of him at this point, given, you know, KD was on this team last year with that coach and doesn't have the confidence he can lead them to a championship? You have to think that's impacting other guys on the team, especially with the way that they, you know, idolized and looked up to him, especially the young guys, and looked for him to lead and carry the team last year.
This is a player-driven league, not a coaches-driven league. You know, unless you're Greg Popovich, unless you're maybe to an extent Steve Kerr, but there aren't, you know, legacy coaches. This isn't college. Like, this isn't, you know, college basketball where the coaches are the superstars and it's not the players. You know, it's just not the case. And the Pelicans, I think this was smart from the Pelicans to come out, you know, through some of their national reporters and say, you know, we're not putting Ingram on the table. We aren't in this thing. You know, if you want, you know, whoever else, CJ McCollum or whatever, yeah, we might get into it. Other teams, like Sean Marks is trying to, and Joe Tsai are trying to, like, play everyone and sort of get, you know, other markets and other teams involved and use leverage and get better packages for Kevin Durant. But they're getting played. They're chumps right now, Nick. And
a thing that they're underestimating is, there's a big difference with the players that they want in a trade and their names being connected to trade reports. You know, if you're trading, you know, an all-star player and it's a young guy and his name's in talks, that's okay. But if it's Brandon Ingram, who's, you know, arguably the best player on your team, second best player, whatever it is. Now it's a little harder for you to handle that situation, especially if he's looking to be a key piece moving forward. In the back of his mind, it's like, oh, you were just looking to trade me for Kevin Durant. So I think that's where it gets really complicated. And I think that's where the Nets are underestimating these teams rebuttaling the leaks, is because it's more likely to have a big impact on their team this current season and moving forward. Again, it's a big difference when it's, you know, Caris LeVert, you know, involved in trade talks back in the day for the Nets. Like, yeah, he's a good player, but he's not a guy that's like the cornerstone of a franchise or, you know, a multi-time all-star moving forward.
Yeah, look, if there are people that are still somehow Josiah and Sean Marks stands, I love the Nets. I don't love and I think loving the Nets and covering the Nets gives us the opportunity to criticize where criticism is due. And there's been a lot of criticism that has been due. And to touch on that report, it was from Christian Clark of the New Orleans Times. And he wrote, if Durant gets moved, the New Orleans Pelicans could be players in the sweepstakes, but that would likely require them to surrender Brandon Ingram. League sources say that the Pelicans are unwilling to do so. Ingram is 9 years younger than Durant, and in terms of annual average value, he costs approximately $15 million less. That's basically just saying, nah. Like, if you want to even think about getting us into this to create a semblance of activity around Kevin Durant, you're not using us. It's not going to happen, Sean.
Yeah, and it also makes things tougher for the Nets receiving offers. You know, if you're a team, you're second guessing sending an offer if you think it's going to get leaked, especially if the Nets are likely to just kind of decline everything you're throwing unless it's kind of ridiculous. And it seems like the Nets have kind of jumped the gun on some things. And obviously it hasn't helped that Kevin Durant's leaking negative things from the other end, you know, damaging their leverage and also making it more likely teams are just going to kind of stand pat rather than kind of with that hard pursuit. So you're seeing this media battle, and there's really nothing going on, and the Nets are trying to create something out of nothing.
We're going to end up with like OG Anunoby and Gary Trent Jr. That's just like, that's the worst nightmare and
Yeah.
Look, Nick, I'm just ultimately thinking about, Josiah said that he, we keep harping on the things that were leaked and talked about in media circles that matter the most. He doesn't care. Like, he's come out on Twitter and said he's going to do what's best for the Nets. He's going to do what's best for his personal interest in his pockets. And ultimately, I think that's going to lead to the fact that it's just like, look, I don't really care about this basketball team. I care more about Alibaba and all the money that I'm making over there.
And then
lacrosse, you know, they should buy a goddamn like a lacrosse league. And why do you think
he's
involved?
He's a big investor already in the lacrosse stuff. I know I saw a lot of people tweet that out today, and it's like, yeah, he already does have a lot of money in there. And that's where he has some of his connections to Steve Nash. I think also a connection to Steve Nash.
Yeah, lacrosse is certainly a sport that we won't be doing many podcasts about. Yeah. So we won't give you any criticism in that relation, Josiah, when it comes to the New York Liberty lacrosse or whatever you want to call them. No, but I just think that it's so goddamn frustrating because what could have been, we're going to repeat everything that we did say. I just don't think that this is leading towards a positive resolution for the Nets franchise overall, Nick, because we're clutching at straws for Kevin Durant maybe changing his mind. The Nets going on like, you know, you listed the start to that season. If Kevin Durant's there, the Nets could be 5-2. You know, because you got Kevin Durant, you got Kyrie Irving, you got TJ Warren as an addition, you got Joe Harris back. You know, you got Ben Simmons hopefully back and fit and healthy according to Stephen A. Smith, like we saw in the last episode. The Nets with Kevin Durant are a championship contender. Without him, they're a middling playoff team around the Atlanta Hawks, Chicago Bulls, that sort of realm. So it's what we're hoping for is just a resolution to all of this chaos. But I just think that we're going to be doing a podcast on Monday or Tuesday, and we're going to be talking about, do the Nets the Boston Celtics have said that they might throw in Robert Williams now instead of Marcus Smart. The Nets said that they want Robert Williams instead. It's just going to be like, really? Are we going to do like that? Or like maybe get a Toronto leak about Pascal Siakam or OG Anunoby has grown incredulous in Toronto. It's just going to be like just little trickles of BS over and over again. And occasional talks about jerseys and schedules. And we've got a little bit of Kyrie stuff, which we can discuss too, Nick. But any additional new rehashed thoughts you want to bring to this Kevin Durant saga is become cumbersome, tiresome, and all the sims. And, you know, I need something to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only ideal scenarios for Nets fans would be the Nets get a package that you feel happy about, you know, given Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, and some picks, or the Nets somehow convince, you know, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving to have, you know, somewhat of a last dance season. Like, hey, it's not going to work out this year. We can reevaluate, you know, next offseason, but that doesn't seem very likely, but it doesn't also seem impossible either, because there's not much leverage for either side to get truly what they want.
The whole last dance thing, I enjoy the comparisons, but for there to be a last dance, it needs to be a first dance. Like, when was Kyrie, like, there's been, what, 20 games of dancing, like, together? And look, we know that Kyrie Irving can make defenders dance, and he has people, like, slipping like that. But the amount of dancing was like a postseason where Kevin Durant had 50 points. It was averaging 50 points on 48.5 minutes per game. Like, there hasn't been a lot of dancing involved. Like, it's been more like just a slow trot and maybe like a cheeky. It's like I'll do an Aussie reference for all the Aussie listeners out there. It's like the Aussie bloke that goes to the bar. He gets a beer and he just does the sort of sway dance. Where he's got his drink in his hand, and this might apply to America, the UK.
Applies to America.
Well, there we go. It's a joke that everyone can get, where you just get a drink and you're not actually dancing. You're just sort of like standing on the dance floor and sort of swaying and using your cup or drink as like a tool to sort of help you have some rhythm. That's the Brooklyn Nets right now, Nick. That's how weird and deep the analogies have gotten for me, because we've been talking about this since freaking June.
Yeah, and it's crazy as nothing really has happened since then, you know, for the most part, nothing really of substance. Like, there's been a couple packages, but it feels like every package that's truly been discussed was discussed the first week of July.
Exactly. And now we're getting Lakers stuff, and it's just like, well, this Lakers stuff is clearly coming out because of the fact that LeBron James signed his deal, his 2-year extension. So now they're like, oh, okay, we've got LeBron James. Now we can throw some picks in for Kyrie Irving. And the point that I was making there is Woj said that the Lakers have been willing to include both of their first round picks in a Kyrie Irving trade, but the Nets aren't interested. Woj is obviously speaking. Basically, he's got the microphone. He's got the gun in his back from Sean Marks and saying, hey,
when you're on like one of those shows or like a spy's on a mission and he has like the little thing in his ear.
The phenomenon that's been taken over Australia in the first season was incredible was The Hunted. It feels like that the Hunters are, you know, the Nets front office, and The Hunted is Adrian Wojnarowski and the ESPN staff. I'm not sure if they have if they have that show in America, but niche references are plenty on the Brooklyn Buzz. In saying that, Nick, the Nets don't want the two first rounders. This deal is just going to be there until the trade deadline. Like if Kyrie Irving if the Nets are like, okay, well then we'll just trade him by in February. Like, there's no urgency to this. Am I wrong in saying that?
Yeah, I think there's a small chance the Lakers could always pivot if they feel like Kyrie's going
to
be stuck.
How are they going to pivot? Like, what are they going to get for Russell Westbrook? What player are they going to get that's going to add some semblance of significance value to their team that isn't Buddy Hield or...
Well, that's probably the other deal that's on the table, is the Buddy Hield and Miles Turner. And that's kind of the decision they have to make, is if they want to run with that and, you know it's going to happen. But again, you're probably right that it's going to sit to the deadline. And if the Nets don't trade Kyrie at the deadline, that'll probably be the other trade on the table if the Pacers don't make another move. You know, the Pacers end up with two picks, get off of two guys, have the Russell Westbrook expiring, probably buy him out. So, you know, I think it'll probably play out into that point, unless for some reason the Lakers really get to a point where they think that Kyrie's not going to be available. But as we've explained multiple times, the Nets are going to hold on to Kyrie until they move Kevin Durant, because they also know the best chance of Kevin Durant suiting up for the Nets and playing and reporting the training camp is if Kyrie's on the roster and Kyrie is requesting him to play with him or just kind of run it this season.
Yeah, maybe Kyrie is the alpha in their relationship and friendship. It's just like, come on, Kev, just pop on the jersey.
He seems persuasive.
He seems much more persuasive. You know, we're doing debating, and you mentioned like rebuttals earlier, and it just keeps bringing up in my mind as debates on my mind in that sort of extent. But yeah, look, I just think that there is, you've mentioned this, and other reporters have mentioned this. It's good to bring it back up, the fact that, you know, the Lakers were wary to include those two first round picks in the first place. Why? Well, because LeBron James hadn't signed with them, so they didn't want to give away their future and in that sort of extent. Now LeBron James is there for the next couple of years. Is there a player option in that second year, Nick? I can't remember.
I'm not sure. I didn't look much into it. I was just disappointed that everything's working out so well for the Lakers. They got LeBron on the extension. The Nets can't even keep KD happy for his first contract. So, well, technically, I guess his extension would kick in for this year, but still, it's kind of crazy. And the Lakers haven't necessarily done anything amazing. They've landed Anthony Davis, but a lot of mistakes roster-wise, and they're still able to kind of keep LeBron happy. And they also made the move to fire Frank Vogel. And Vogel probably wasn't the key reason they were terrible last year. It was a lot of roster stuff and injuries, but LeBron wanted him out and he was sent out. And the Nets obviously didn't do the same thing for Kevin Durant.
Frank Vogel is a better head coach than Steve Nash.
Yeah, that's an easy statement.
That's an easy statement. And he doesn't have a job as a head coach in the NBA yet. Steven Nash, the third highest paid coach, that is earning $9 million per season. Just in case people don't know my disdain and the facts about Canadian Steven. This Kyrie stuff, I think, Nick, is probably going to linger for months and months. I'm sure Rob Pelinka will put some pressure on Clutch and Dave McMenamin to keep leaking some stuff around that. And maybe they'll talk about some things that, like, Kyrie and LeBron have been texting. I'm sure we'll get something around that and we'll have a discussion. It'll just be like, there's nothing really new to report in terms of our opinions on that. I want Kyrie Irving, like, for those that might not know, I want Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant to play in Brooklyn Nets uniforms for as long as possible because I love watching them play. I've been lucky to get the opportunity to watch them both play individually and together. So, but ultimately, it seems the likely outcome by February 2023 is that neither of them will probably be in Brooklyn Nets uniforms, and I'll have to change my allegiances to the Aussie brothers, or at least one of them in Ben Simmons.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem likely that they'll be here long term, obviously. And also, I don't think you want players, you know, on the team that don't want to be here either. You know, obviously, Kyrie, it's more of a mystery. You know, is it optics or does he truly want to play in Brooklyn or is he just already planning to leave for LA in the offseason? Obviously, Kevin Durant, we know his unhappiness with this team and the situation right now. So it's just like you've kind of alluded to earlier, Jack. It's just like, you almost want to see the situation settled so the Nets can just kind of move on with players, hopefully, that want to be here and build, you know, some type of team and have some type of plan moving forward. But it's also hard to have that level of confidence given how everything's kind of played out the last, you know, 3 months and also the last year and change.
Yeah, no extra comments on that. But we'll finish with the best thing on a non-visual platform like a podcast. Talk about uniforms and statement jerseys. Look, in saying that, the Nets ones did look pretty good, Nick. And the statement jerseys, the all black, look slick as hell. I'm a fan of it. The Air Jordan logo, the trimming looks pretty nice. And then we've obviously got the Dr. J era classic unis, which the red, white, and blue with the stars on the trimming are a gorgeous look as well. I'm sure Nets fans are happy about this, or at least getting rid of the old City Edition ones. Which one do you prefer out of these two, Nick?
Yeah, I think the Dr. J era ones are just kind of a classic. The New York Nets, the like you said, the white, red, and blue with the stars on the side. It just kind of pops. You know, I think the Jordan ones are nice. They're kind of sleek, but obviously, you know, the other ones, the Dr. J ones, carry a little history, and it's something that we also saw the Nets wear a lot when they were in New Jersey. You know, that was kind of a throwback they used. So it'd be cool. It'd be really cool to see Kevin Durant in one, but I'm not sure if that's going to happen.
Is there a way where there are platforms or shops outside of Joe Tsai's stranglehold that I can support to buy either of these things, Nick? That's a challenge for a listener out there. And you know, you can hit me up in the DMs or contact Nick in the DMs as well. Let us know. Is there a way I can get a Dr. J T uni or whatever, some shorts or the statement jersey, and that my money doesn't go to Joe Tsai's pockets? Because ultimately, I don't want to give him any semblance of money after, you know, what's happened in the past 6 months, 8 months, 12 months, whatever else this saga has entailed. Because, man, I'm a fan of the Dr. J ones. I do like the statement ones as well. I'm a fan of all black. Black is very slimming. We all want to look a little bit slimmer, especially we're heading into spring. You guys are heading into the colder season. But, yeah, I like them both.
Yeah, I think if you went to an unofficial NBA source of merchandise, you could definitely find it. So, you know, if somebody wants to jump in the Jack's DMs, feel free. But, Jack, anything else before we get out of here?
Nothing, mate. Just, like, it's like watching paint dry, or like listening to water drops, or it's torturous sometimes, torturously boring, torturously mundane, torturously insert other verb there or noun, because it's just the little bits and pieces. Hopefully we get some other stuff, but yeah, we're waiting with bated breath.
Yeah, I mean, it's also, I think, just one quick note. It's like the Nets still need to fill out the rest of the roster. They probably need to add another big to this team and, you know, get some more veterans, or just, you know, make sure they have an actual team heading into media day. So that's just something to keep an eye on. We should, I would think, see a sign over the next couple of weeks. But who knows with this team. Jack, always a pleasure talking Nets with you, even if it is sadness. But big thanks, everybody, for listening. Check the Buzz on all streaming platforms.